Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Kelly Grant, the Grantmaster.
Cindy Burgess Gerson, what an amazing person.
Just saying. Okay.
Kelly Barlow, when she goes Barlow, we go high-low.
Jason Andrews, the king of the upside-down Twitter pick. And Christy Dougherty, the OG Prime Supreme.
Watch what crappens, watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Crappens. Crappens.
Crappens. Watch what crappens, watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens? Watch what.
To talk to other Crappens listeners about the shows as they air, come over to facebook.com/watchwhatcrappens.
And to follow us on social media, go to watchwhatcrappens.com to find all our social media links.
And for our bonus episodes and all of our extras, come over and be a premium member over at patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. That's patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens.
Hey everyone, welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to watch. I'm Ben Mandelker from BsideBlog.com and The Banter Blender, and joining me, as usual, is just a wonderful man. If you don't know him, you should get to know him. His name is Ronnie Karam from the TrashTalkTV.com website, and also Rose Prick's Bachelor Podcast. How's it going, Ronnie?
Well, hello, Ben. What a sweet intro.
You know, I always like to make it nice for you.
Get to know me.
Yeah, get to know Ronnie. Everyone, get to know him. Understand him. Feel him. Be with him. Go on his journey.
Feel me.
You guys.
Okay, don't. Let's not get started on Tommy. It's the beginning of our Tuesday. Nobody needs that.
Tommy. You guys.
See me. Hear me. Touch me, heal me.
Tommy doing Matt. Tommy.
This song is dedicated to Mookie Wilson.
So, famous Mets player.
The who?
So,
Doc, the who? Daryl Strawberry.
The Who's Tommy, as sung by the Shaw's Tommy.
I would do that musical.
It's going to be a good day, Ben.
It's going to be a crazy day. We are just about a week away from our Chicago shows. We're super excited about it. And I just want to give a shout out. We sort of did them at the end of our episode. And I kind of feel like we need to give a proper shout out to two companies that are helping fill out our VIP swag bags. So I want to give a shout out to Orbitz, who will be providing some fun stuff. And also TMG, Tasty Minstrel Games, who are going to be providing a fun card game called Okie Dokie to all our VIP listeners. And we love both those companies. So if you want to travel someplace or you're looking for a good board game, and I can really back up both of those things, go visit those companies, please.
And also, thank you so much to Miss Alicia Smiley, who sent us some delicious brownies and challah bread and some popover trays.
She sent challah bread?
Yes.
Oh my God, I've got Rosh Hashanah is around the corner, like a day away. I'm seeing you tomorrow, Ronnie. So we'll do a Rosh.
Well,
we'll
do a few days ago. I'm not sure how long that stuff lasts, but the brownies sure last.
We can make a challah bread pudding or something. You want to come over for Rosh Hashanah on Thursday? You want to do that?
I'm not sure. Let me tell you, because I might have a date. Thank you, though. Thank you. I might have a date, and we all know how rare that is.
A Rosh Hashanah date? That's fine. It's fine.
Well, Gentiles, you know, it's just like Ronnie date time.
Wow. Well, that's exciting. Well, sweet new year. We'll start with maybe a sweet hookup.
Not really. It's like literally a twist of the arm. I'm like, okay.
It's much like a twist of the bread. Challah bread. It's twisted knots.
It's very difficult to get me on a date, girl.
Well, you know what's not difficult is to get you to watch Bravo. Especially
that's for damn sure, especially today.
When there's so much good stuff on Bravo these days, especially Real Housewives of Orange County sort of came to life this week, huh?
Oh my goodness. Real Housewives of Orange County, I don't know how they do it on this show. You're like, I'm bored, I'm bored, I'm bored, I'm bored. And then Shannon shows up in a Holly Hobby hat. And Lydia decides to do something, and before you know it, the whole world's changed.
I loved her hat. To me, it was just like it was like a sombrero to go, you know? It looked like a Chip and Dip. Like,
it was like a white girl. Oh no, Holly Hobby has a floppy hat. Who has that straw circular hat?
I know. I don't. It's a type of hat, and I just don't know what it's called. But it looked so cute on her, just sort of like perched on her head.
Yeah,
it was so like a flying saucer had just descended from another planet, just taken over Shannon's head.
Thank you in peace, David. David,
like I'm a child in the upper northeast, and it is spring, and I'm picking flowers, Vicky Gumpleton. I picked 30 pounds of flowers thanks to Vicky Gumpleton.
30 to 40 dandelions that I picked. And guess what? Turns out dandelions are weeds. Ha! Huh, who knew? Nami, did I know there were weeds?
No. No.
Well, I don't know why they have dandy in their name. It's pretty ridiculous.
I would have picked some buttercups instead, but David told me he prefers a more exciting flower. But that's okay. Doesn't matter what flower I get him, because we're still so happy.
Buttercups have too much fat, apparently, so stuck with a lying flower.
I said to David, why can't we pick a flower that was more like a rice cake? But he wants a buttercup. Apparently he has no regard for my fitness challenges and the fat that I have to take on with a buttercup.
So speaking of buttercup, let's talk about Kelly's extremely heavy boobs.
Let's do that. They are big.
When we got to meet Kelly, she's like, look at my boobs, they're smaller. And I was like, what? Like, I've never looked like... I know that's odd because, you know, Andy is like the main Bravo gay. He's always like, your boobs. Let's talk about your boobs. Look how big your boobs are. How long have you had them? When did you guys meet?
Yeah.
Like, what did you pay?
Right.
How much does your back hurt? Right. You know, all that stuff. But I never really noticed boobs unless they're like square. Yeah. You know,
hers I've noticed are huge. I've always noticed they're like actually enormous. And basically she wants to get a reduction, but so to memorialize her her gigantic boobs, she and Michael have decided to make a bust of or a boob cast of her boobs. So this meant that they had to like they went out onto the patio and she just basically got shirtless, topless, and he had to like rub this like. This oil on her so
I think it was Vaseline, wasn't it?
Maybe it was like Vaseline something so that way the paper mache wouldn't stick to it. And I don't think I've ever seen on non-premium cable like such like not it's not that it was aggressive handling, it was just it was a very tactile boob handling experience. Normally you see plastic surgeons and they sort of like point with a pen, but he was like cupping and massaging and I was like, this is kind of crazy. Even though it's blurred out, I've never seen so much boob massaging on TV before.
Yeah, well, that guy's a cook, you know. He cooks a lot, and I think it was just like a turkey to him. Yeah. It was basically just like a Thanksgiving turkey. He was getting that shit buttered. He was, like, putting some butter under the skin.
Yeah. It looked like he was doing pottery.
Like he was, like, and they probably put some poor little gay PA on the part where you have to sit in Final Cut and keep moving the blurs around.
Yeah. Well, what's amazing is, I mean, she really is in full view where she was. You know, you can see it on TV, and we, of course, were fortunate enough to be at the Boob Palace. So, like, we know, like, how close those neighbors are. And when she's out there shirtless, she's really out there.
I know. And that poor old lady, she's like, oh, no, there's Nancy. Hi, Nancy. Nancy's like, God, her tits are out again.
I liked when there was like a flashback of Kelly telling Shannon, and she goes, well, I'm going to get my boobs redone. And Shannon goes, oh, wow. And then just cuts away.
Well,
I have to pretend to be friends with this woman. Huh?
Hopefully you're not going to have Wi-Fi in them. Just remodel or your children could die. Okay. Have a good boob job.
She said that she were big, and then she had a baby and breastfed, and then they deflated, and then so she got them filled to 32 G. Yeah. I mean, girl, that sounds like a price tag.
Yeah.
A G?
It sounds like a floor you might live on in New York City.
32 G. Like, damn it, can I have a corner?
My boobs are too close to the elevator.
It sounds like my shoe size when I was a kid. It's like 13... 19 F's at the end.
So the real important stuff is that we learned that Michael and Kelly are going to be hosting like a little volleyball game out on the beach, and then everyone over the next day, and pretty much everyone's invited except for Megan. You know that's bad when even Vicky Gunvalson and Tamara and all of them, when they're all, every single person, but not Megan. I know that I'm actually okay with that. I was okay with it.
Yeah, me too. It would have just been like, ugh.
Yeah. Oh my God, playing this volleyball, it reminds me like little baby Aspen. She loves when I throw things. Like a
Justice volleyball headband.
I was also very impressed with Megan because we have recently found out how difficult merch can be.
Yeah.
And she had, like, hashtag shirts made for everybody. Yeah. And I was like, you know Kelly. What? That's...
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, who did I say?
Megan.
You guys, it's like 1 in the afternoon. It's not even early in the morning. And I'm walking around here with this big-ass coffee acting like I deserve a coma. Or like I just got up at 5 in the morning to do this show.
I'm going through it, too. My iced coffee buzz is already wearing off because I gave those stupid Kroger Premium Choice beans another shot. And guess what? It tastes even worse. Like drinking, like... water that's been filtered through a bong. It's terrible.
More like Noger.
so stupid. Okay, so volleyball. So Lola's, Lydia and Tamara meet for breakfast.
Yeah.
And or something. I don't know. Whatever you call it.
When, a nibble, a piece of arugula.
Yeah, whenever two thin people show up at a restaurant like that. Whatever you call that. Like a bottle of water.
We'll split a cherry tomato, please. Thank you.
Yes, and a straw to chew on. Now, this is my favorite kind of waiter, and, you know, I love talking about the waiters on these shows. They've calmed down the past couple of years, because they used to be like, hi, it's like an audition, you know, like,
yeah.
I'm feeling things, what would you like today? My mother left when I was young, or whatever.
Right.
But this waiter is just old and exhausted, and he just walks up and leans right on the table. He's like, yeah, what do you want? And I was like, yes. You're my kind of waiter. It's like me waiting on you. Like, I'm that waiter. He's like, can I sit down with you guys? Let me tell you a story. People are like, get this weird old person.
He's like, let me guess. Kale salad? Okay, got it.
Mind if I eat your bread basket? I only get so many a day here.
Yeah.
So they're meeting to talk some shit, basically. Why else?
Yeah.
And, Tamara's like, well, you know, Batch, it's been a great 24 hours. Let me hear, Batch. This is really hard, Batch. Like, she's trying to cry. She's trying to cry her Tamara cry, but it's just like, you know, the possum on the dumpster with an air machine blowing in its face. You're like, okay, I buy that you have dry eyes.
Yeah, her fake crying, her whatever it was, like she was out of her fuel or she was like some gear was not working, but her fake crying was not working this episode. And Lord knows she tried multiple times. She was like really trying to force it out. Like she was just like staring really hard, trying to do that like that Stranger Things thing where you're trying to make something levitate. That little girl, 13, 11, whatever that girl's name is. Like, trying to go to another dimension of crying. Can't make it. I'm still not in the upside down of crying now.
Yeah, she's like, that pencil moved, Patch! It's like, no, it didn't. It's like every kid in the library trying to learn how to be Carrie.
I'm knocking everyone in this coffee shop right now with my telepathic abilities. No, the doors are still wide open and nothing's on fire.
Batch!
She poured pig's blood all over Eddie's gay porn, Batch!
I feel like you shouldn't try to cry. That's really, really bad for your face. It's worse than smoking, I think, trying to force yourself to cry like that. Especially when you spend so much money on your face. Don't stress it, okay? Let it rest. Let it rest. You don't have to cry all the time. People don't buy it anyway. Get over it.
So,
but the pretend crying is because she heard about Becca inviting the gay with the terrible faux hawk and Gretchen to the party to talk about Eddie being gay and Eddie making out with a dude or something. And she's like, I have children. I'm finally getting along with my daughter. I don't need my children to hear that Eddie is gay.
Yeah. Yeah, she does. Vicky does this whole... Tamara does this whole thing of, like, she calls me because she wants to have coffee with me, and then that night she invites all my arch enemies and to talk shit about my anger. And it's like... You know, it's like, settle down, Tamara. You are the queen of pulling this maneuver, so just relax. And she goes, Ricky was my best friend, but when I didn't invite him to my baptism, he sent me messages that he was going to destroy my life. I'm like, okay, I mean, Ricky does seem like a piece of shit. I'm not going to take that away. But, you know, you sort of just, like, just sort of skated over the fact that you didn't invite him to your baptism. Like, you actually did him wrong first. Actually, do you even hear what you said? You invited, everyone was invited to that thing. Even, like, Vicky's third cousin, Sandra, was there, you know, talking to Shannon. But, like...
I mean, Vicky was there. Vicky, the one who went to your baptism and compared herself to Christ at the baptism.
Everyone was there. So the fact that you could... Listen, you knew you had a petty gay. You knew. He's a petty, older Orange County gay. We know how those guys work. And you didn't invite him to your baptism?
Best man, if he's your best man at your wedding, he should at least be your guest at your wedding to Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
You know? Like, once you invite someone to... a commitment ceremony with a really hot guy with abs, you have to keep doing it.
Yeah.
Like, unless they get uglier, okay, you can stop inviting them. But until then, another hot guy with abs. Why wouldn't he be invited? Also, I hate sticking up for Ricky.
Yeah.
And I won't. No. But I will say, just as a gay, and especially as one who's older and talks shit on here all the time, sending a text to someone saying, I'll destroy your life, doesn't mean I'm going to destroy your life. It means love you, bitch. Hugs.
Yeah, I was about to say. That's gay code for ha-ha, bitch.
Yeah, it's okay, bitch. Like, so, I don't want to watch Vicky in a lace dress in a pool, you know, trying to upstage you anyway. Also, guess who will never be able to destroy anyone's life? Anybody in a faux hawk. There's never been anybody in history, like... There's no destroyer with a faux hawk, okay?
Yeah, listen, I'm sorry. The gays in Tustin, they just with a faux hawk, it's not going to work. They just won't be life destroyers the way a good old fashioned catty weeho gay could be. I mean, look at Reza. See, he knows how to do it.
Yes. Well, Reza can destroy a life, but yeah, he keeps his faux hawk in check.
Exactly.
Like he'll attempt it, kind of, but it's in that way, like, I could have had a faux hawk, but I won't, because I'm a destroyer.
I feel like the gays of Cerritos or Tustin or, like, Mission Viejo, or, like, I feel like their best shining moment is in one of those low-rent crime movies where there's, like, the gay guy who, like, provides, like, the cocaine or something like that, and then gets caught up in something and then snitches. I mean, not to perpetuate stereotypes, but, like, I feel like that's what the Orange County, like, the old Orange County gays who live in Tustin, that's what I feel like they're like. I could be totally
wrong. But I feel like the Orange County gays who live in Tustin don't ever provide coke. These are, like, cheap gays, okay? Like, these gays don't even bring cookies. Like, this guy's still wearing the same faux hawk wig from, like, a long time ago.
Well, we are cross-cutting over to... Vicky, who's hanging out with Brianna, and she's just frustrated with this whole Ricky situation. She's like, you know, I just repeated the Eddie rumor. I didn't spread. I just repeated. She's like, so what? Like, if it was about a car accident, and I just repeated it. Like, so if it was a car accident, I repeated something about a car accident. Does that mean I caused a car accident? I'm like, no, but now people are probably questioning the quality of the car now.
Yes, and probably if you heard about a car accident, like in this example, it's like you cut somebody's brakes, then you asked if they had a car accident, then you heard about it, and then you repeated it and pretend you never cut the brakes. You see, there's like a difference.
Yeah, it's here. Like, Vicky, when you talked about this car accident, now everyone's wondering about what's going on in Eddie's trunk. That's what I'm saying. What
by the way, who caused hurricanes just because I watched the weather?
If you prick me, do I not bleed? And then do I cause the bleeding? Am I made of blood? I guess I am. Okay.
Okay. How many times was Jesus crucified? Just put me up. Put me up again. Just put me up again. So
then
Vicky,
she's like, I like how Vicky plays again the victim role. She goes, I don't about Tamara. She's because I think Brianna's like, you guys just need to be friends or whatever. She's like, I don't think she likes me. That hurts my feelings.
It's like, and then she shrugs like, what? My feelings. It's my feelings that hurt. What are you gonna say? Like, I have feelings too, you know? Like, Koro, Kak, feelings. Feelings insurance. So now they can't.
My feelings are hurt, but luckily they're insured.
If anybody else needs feeling insurance, calf, cure all feelings, okay? So Tamara is like, I'm finding a good place with my daughter and my ex. Now she's going to read that. Eddie's a homo and he's cheating? My kids don't need that. And Lydia's like, why would Vicky say that? Why would she do it? And she's like, I really thought I got through to her by that heat lamp at her party. It's like, yeah. Come on.
Yeah, maybe not quite so much. So then the question is, so Tamara, are you going to go to Kelly's volleyball thing knowing that Vicky's going to be there? And Tamara's like, I don't know. I just really don't know. Batch. Like, I don't know. I'm like, oh,
she's
wow.
Like, what am I supposed to do? Ignore her.
The like tortured life of Tamara. Wow. Dilemmas.
Lydia's still just so shocked about that. I love this cutting back and forth. She's like, but I just talked to Vicky. It's like a missionary being surprised when one of the villagers beheads somebody after. It's like, it takes more than a meeting, okay? It's a lifestyle.
Yeah.
Like, you don't eat one Think Thin bar and then you're, like, skinny, okay? Right. It's a lifestyle change, guys.
So then they start talking about Shannon, and Tamara says that Shannon thinks that Lydia doesn't like her, and Lydia's like, "Well, I don't like her." I'm like, "Whoa,
she's on maintenance."
Yeah, Lydia sort of decided to let her bitch flower finally bloom this episode. It looked like it was blooming in episode two, and then it kind of went in again, but now she's like, she just fully let it back out again.
And she doesn't even. She's just honest. She's like, "I don't even like that. Like that girl's complete drama whenever I see her." And then Tamara. Now, here's the confusing thing. How is Tamara still friends with Shannon? Because I have a feeling Shannon is watching every single episode and being like, wow. Oh, really, Tamara? Oh, really? Because she's like, yeah, I get 25 calls a day. I get it.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I feel like if Vicky had said that about Shannon, Shannon would be mad at Vicky. But Tamara does it, and she gets away with it. And she said, yeah, she says
well,
that
Shannon's
she gets
20- not hearing it yet.
That's true. And so Tamara says she gets 25 calls from Shannon, and then Shannon calls, and I don't know if you noticed with the blurred out vision, but the picture that Tamara has of Shannon was totally the Bravo headshot of her, which I thought was sort of like very meta and strange.
She's like, just do a Google image search, batch. So
now we have... Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Tamara gets a call, and she's like, well, Shannon, batch, call number three today. Like, God, you turn every fucking time you have a chance, you start turning on people.
Yeah.
Like, it's not, like, give it a chance. Like, at least pretend you're going to try and make this one last. Come on. So Peggy is at the office with Deco and Coco, and she's like, no basketball in the office. Coco,
no ball in office. Coco, stay here. We're going inside office and come out a little later. Okay, Coco? Like last time. You sit here, we go in, we come out. Okay, Coco? He's like, okay.
He's like, okay, I'm going to read my book.
What is this book? What is it?
What is
Coco,
it?
Coco, say hi to doctor. Coco, say hi to doctor. Coco, sit in chair. Coco, no ball in chair, Coco. Coco, Coco.
Did you see? He was actually reading a book called No Talking, and this is the description of No Talking. No Talking is a 2007 children's novel written by Andrew Clements. It is about the noisy fifth-grade boys of Laketon Elementary School who challenged the equally loud fifth-grade girls to a no-talking contest. For some reason, that felt like very... I love that Peggy's children read books about actively not talking.
Yeah. No wonder the kid's taking it out on a damn basketball in the living room. Like, he's got to communicate in some way. He's like, love...
Coco, learn from fifth grade boys. No talking.
Love, like it's tennis. God, I'm stupid sometimes. He's like, horse, mama, horse.
What is this horse?
I'm glad that you looked that book up because I was like, what is that? It's statues whispering to each other and about to kiss. It's like, what
no,
the fuck
it was
is
a boy
Coco?
And a girl. And they're saying, it's, and one boy
and
is
they're
saying
going,
no talking.
Shh. One is going, shh. And isn't it, they're statues, right?
Well, it's really a great metaphor for this episode about how fifth grade boys and girls can actually manage to not talk way better than these women. They're not statues.
It's
by
basically
the way.
Like Peggy's downfall.
No talking.
All Coco. In one book. Yeah.
Coco.
I refuse to speak.
Blame Coco's book. So yeah, she's getting her boob expanders in and stuff.
For
and
in preparation for her
because like
surgery.
We are going to take some fat from your head, and we are going to put it in your boo-boos.
And she's like, there is nothing here, I told you.
Hey, so it's kind of boring. So
and then they leave, and they're like, Coco,
Coco, get the door for your mom. Coco, Coco.
I just like them bossing around Coco. He's so cute.
I'm Deagle. Oh, hello, receptionist. It's Deagle.
Oh, good, good. That little guy with the wife, he needs a boot job's here again.
So Shannon, over at Shannon's house, we see Shannon with her daughters standing with Archie the dog in a ball by the pool. And Shannon goes, Archie, I'll let you go in. And she just plops a ball down in the pool. And her kids are like, come on, mom, you can do better than that.
Poor Archie. He does what my dog does. He's like, well, my dog does it in the living room. But Archie's like making a whole circle around the pool just to feel like he's been played with. The ball in his mouth. Poor Archie.
Like, all right, Archie, going. Ah, there you go. I guess that's great. Having your back turned to me and swimming away. Haven't been here before, Archie. Ah.
So look, Archie, I'm just giving you the smallest amount of attention. This is what it must feel like to be David. At last I know.
So she's got a call with the president of Z Pizza. She's like, I had a dream. A dream about a restaurant. I was like, okay, calm down over there. I'm okay.
I dreamed a dream of appetizers.
With calorie counts right by the titles.
There'd be nothing but salads.
And cheese with no calories.
I can't wait to see what her menu is. It's like,
a filet mignon, 5 calories.
I'm like, wait a minute. Man, this is not realistic.
You said you'd bring me something, Z Pizza. Get on it!
Yeah, so Shannon's struggling to get her emails on her new lap. She's like, I don't know where I was. Get new mail. Get new mail. That means I don't have Wi-Fi. I'm sorry, guys. There's like, I don't know. It's a problem. I'm so low-tech. I don't know what it is. Maybe that's why David gets so angry now. He seems so distant because I'm low-tech, and he seems high-tech, and I feel like Wi-Fi will bring us together, but will it? I don't know. I feel disconnected. It's like, whoa, Shannon, we just want to know if you got our text message.
This is also so Shannon, right after she's accused of using the audio recorder on Kelly, and she's like, I don't even know how to use an iPhone. Whoa, I'm so low-tech. How do you check mail? How do you check the email? I don't know. How would I know? I'm low tech.
Sort by date. Oh, wait. Today, I got it. I figured it out. Technology.
Now, I am so fucking excited by the name of this restaurant because the initials are R something RK, which is my initials, you know, Ronnie Caram.
Oh, yeah.
And seeing my initials in Shannon's low-fat restaurant is, like, so exciting to me, you guys. I would like to thank Shannon Bedore and the branding lady, who has no idea what she's just unleashed. Because really, I will make t-shirts with my own face and your restaurant logo. Okay? I'm calling Kelly Dodd. I'm getting the name of her screen printer.
And I'm getting to work.
Unfortunately, my initials are the experience that happens after you go to Shannon's restaurant, BM, as in bowel movement. Anyway, it's
and
mine.
Together, we're R&B, guys.
We are. It's the smooth sounds of Ben and Ronnie.
The smooth sounds of
Archie!
Archie! Ah,
our first R&B song.
Archie! Ah.
I'm still waiting Let's for iTunes.
Archie!
I'm still waiting for iTunes to approve Tulu for you, by the way. I'm getting mad. It's been a week now. Come on, people.
Yeah, they take their time. They got to make sure it's SFW, guys. Safe for work. So safe Shannon is a little... I'm proud of Shannon for getting a restaurant and stuff because, you know, that's cool.
Yeah.
But she's like, my relationship can't be the thing that defines my happiness. My career can do it now.
Yeah.
And whether or not David is interested in me, this place will make me work, will make me happy. Like, have you seen A Christmas Carol?
I mean, nothing will make you happier than if you think the divorce rates in Orange County are bad, wait till you look at the restaurant closure rates. I mean, no offense.
How could work not make me happy? Oh, it's the ghost of David past, the ghost of David present, and the ghost of David future.
It's like all the same act. They're just like, dear. Yes, dear. Yes, dear. Sorry, dear.
I've never I've never been happier. Though when ghost from the future came all the way back to this time just to say hello.
David! David from 2047! What do you have to say for me, David? What do you have to say for yourself? Hello, dear. Oh, David! Ah, I'm changing my ways, that's it.
Oh, look! It's David from Future Christmas Future. And okay, sorry, he's off to another race. All right, I guess they still have races in the future, huh? Nothing is going to make me happier than pouring lots of money and hope and desires into a restaurant concept that may be closed in a year.
Oh, tiny Stella.
And then I like how after the phone call...
Come over here with your little crutch.
I like after the phone call, Archie, who has since splashed Shannon, she just like turns to him. After she's like thrown the ball into the water millions of times, she turns to him and goes,
well, you gonna lounge here? Dry off a little bit? Because I can't let you in now. No.
So I'm like, oh, I see. So you basically just like set Archie up so he could get wet and smelly, and now you're scolding him for being wet and smelly. I see how this all works.
Yeah, I'll just let that pass.
You know, Ronnie,
I'm
all
feeling
this talk
charitable today.
All this talk about opening up a restaurant, healthy food, all that stuff, it's sort of making me hungry. And it's not just because I've eaten a pittance today, but it's making me think of one of our favorite sponsors, HelloFresh.
Well, HelloFresh.
Hello, HelloFresh.
Yeah, if you want to open a healthy restaurant, just call HelloFresh. You won't even have to go to the grocery store.
Or open a restaurant.
Healthy, delicious shit will just show up at the restaurant door and, you know, you have someone cook it.
Yeah, it's like having your own failed restaurant concept in your own kitchen. Except it's not a failure. It's a wild success.
Is there any way that we can get this food color-coded so I can understand exactly what it goes with? Now, what do I put the pork chops on? A steak?
Like, oh, no. You won't ever have that problem. Because HelloFresh comes with menus that are color-coded, all the ingredients you need portioned and color-coded so you know exactly where they go, and all the recipes are actually delicious. You know, we talk about on the show how we use products that we actually – or we talk about products that we actually use – and HelloFresh, we actually do.
I know. HelloFresh actually delivers the food to your doorstop in a big, recyclable, insulated box for free. And it's kind of crazy that this is where technology has taken us. This giant box will just arrive, and it's actually very exciting. And there's a giant like cooler pack thing in the middle. But, oh, by the way, you have to be careful because sometimes there's like the ingredients, and then there's like these sort of ice packs, like dry ice or whatever, and then sometimes there's stuff below the dry ice. Just make sure you know that it doesn't end with the dry ice.
Yes, it's all portioned like a little refrigerator. Everything's like in its place. And I live in a building where we see each other's mail on the doors. You know, it's like the hallway. And all the girls, every girl who lives here has a box. Like they have a different kind of box. And they ask me about mine because I have HelloFresh. Do you know how many converts we have in my building alone?
Yeah.
It's amazing. And these girls ain't going to lie. They love it.
They should be. I mean, we talk about HelloFresh a lot because it's actually legitimately good. And I've said many times, it has revolutionized the way I cook pork chops. It has revolutionized the way I make my burgers. In fact, here we go. Testimony. I went to my boyfriend's family reunion down in Orlando back in July, and there was a giant cookout, like 40 people. And I got put on burger duty, and I was like, okay, how do I do this? And I was like, I went back into my HelloFresh memory bank, and I made burgers based on the HelloFresh recipe for 40 people, and it was a wild hit, and it was important because I needed to make, you know, a good impression on a family. So there,
yeah,
there,
it actually
there.
Teaches you to cook new things.
Yeah.
Well, HelloFresh is a meal delivery kit service that makes cooking fun, easy, and convenient. Each week, HelloFresh creates new, delicious recipes with step-by-step instructions designed to take around 30 minutes for everyone from novices, you know, like someone who might burn toast, to seasoned home cooks, like someone who could cater her entire party without a caterer all by herself. Short on time.
I'm squeezing someone's knee right now because I'm so excited about this HelloFresh situation. So, if you want to be like HelloFresh, if you want your happiness not to come from David, but actually from HelloFresh, then just go to HelloFresh.com and use the promo code CRAPPINS30 to get $30 off your first week of HelloFresh.
Yeah, for 30... For 30-week off your first week of deliveries, visit HelloFresh.com and enter promo code CRAPPITS30. You know, like, if you don't call HelloFresh, I would have, like, had my feelings hurt. It's sad.
David, do you want to pay full price for HelloFresh box for your first week?
No.
Do you want $30 off?
Yes.
Then HelloFresh.com, promo code CRAPPITS30.
Ghost of David Future?
Yes, dear.
Do you want to have to go to the grocery store?
No, dear.
Well, then, who are you going to call?
Well, I'm going to use my Airphone from the future to call HelloFresh. And by calling, I mean going to HelloFresh.com and using the promo code CRAPPINS30. Beep, boop, 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 beep, beep, boop, 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 boop. And please have it delivered to my next Spartan race. Thank you.
But, David, we were going to cook it together. David. $30 off.
So stupid.
$30 off your HelloFresh box.
Thank you, HelloFresh.
Yes, and thank you, audience, for always enduring our ad reads.
So, you know something else that's delicious? Doug's balls being snipped off.
Oh, the tastiest thing in the world.
This is basically just running around to every goddamn doctor in town.
Yeah, I'm getting a little sick of all the doctor stuff on Bravo, to be honest.
I am too. And why don't we ever get to see some dude go in there and be like, hey, can I get big balls, like big fake balls put in?
Yeah.
I want big old, like, uncut pit bull balls from the dog park. Mm-hmm. Could you handle that, doc?
Yeah, exactly. So he's getting his vasectomy consultation. Dog's, like, a little nervous. And she's like, are you okay? I mean, Lydia. And he's like, yeah, but, like, I read a pretty cool Bible verse. I'm pretty calm now because basically your body's my body. So if I want to jerk off, I know that you can just do it too. She's like, not quite, but...
He's like, the point is, like, in Ephesians, husbands love their wives like Christ loves the church. And then Christ died, so loving you is like having really good ribs with a side of ranch. I'm like, what? What Bible verse is this, sir? And what does this have to do with your nuts?
He's like, Jesus once said, you know, loving you is easy because you're beautiful. And making love with you is all I want to do. Loving you is more than a dream come true. And everything I do is out of loving you. La 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 la
la la la la. Sorry, he's like that was the bad harmony part of Ephesians.
I'm sorry, Ronnie. I cut you off because I was excited to do a mini Ripperton moment.
No, I was trying to harmonize with you, but instead it was like an emergency broadcast right in your ear. Like,
well, because that's how I imagine he would sing Minnie Riperton. Well, because actually Lydia would be like,
la 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 la.
It's actually perfect. She does do that part every single time.
Vasectomy.
I'm sweating.
Look, if I want to see Doug in a doctor's office, it's to get that faux hawk removed. I cannot believe there's another adult on this show with a faux hawk. Stop
it's like
it.
A little baby faux hawk. It's like
Stop.
It's, yeah, it's like the boss baby faux hawk. But yeah, Lydia is like excited because this means she can go off the pill. So she's like, woohoo, vasectomy.
Yeah, now you'll have less pills and more paper towels by your bed. Like, congrats. Like, what do you want me to say? Like, I don't want to think about this. And Doug doesn't really get it because he's like, yeah, well, doctor, when she had a baby, she got a push present. Is there a snip present? Like, you get to, like, come whenever, like, wherever you want. You don't have to wear condoms. Isn't that present enough? And how are you comparing getting your ball snips to pushing out a baby? Doug.
Yeah. I know. I think he deserves a present. He's getting his ball snipped.
Well, he's already got a wife made out of his ribs. What more do you need, sir?
Yeah. Well, now time for the main event. Volleyball at Casa Dodd.
Stop fingering your table, sir, over there. I hear you. I hear you, table fingerer.
I wasn't fingering. You know what? I hit delete on my laptop very loudly. That's what it was.
You son but of a delete.
I haven't been doing this or anything.
Oh, I hear like a light thing, and I was like, "Don't say anything, don't say anything."
Oh, maybe.
But then I kept hearing.
Is it like this? Is this what you hear? That's me, yeah. Like, that's me deleting my notes as we go along.
No, don't just ever pretend... delete them. I want to have like a giant book of my misspelled notes. It's like,
no,
God, this dude can't even spell volleyball, really?
I delete them so that way I know what I've said already. That way I don't get lost in my notes.
Oh, I get lost
in my notes.
So it's time for volleyball, everybody. And what's better on a nice sunny day than a black t-shirt from Cafe Press? Feels delicious. Feels so comfortable.
It's a good time to plug that our Watcher Crappens merchandise store will be up soon.
Yes, it's taking us forever, but it's coming. A very long process, you guys. There's a lot to do. Tax numbers, boxes, shipping, Amazon.
ID number tomorrow. It's super excited. I mean, we could do it today, but like, we're just going to do it tomorrow.
We're going to have hashtags that say like, hashtag Mantleker, hashtag Kara,
hashtag Geraldine Parsons Smith.
And only Kelly would be like, okay, we're getting volleyball, so everybody's their own team.
Like, yeah.
It's total mayhem down
there.
It is
kind of funny that it was all their own team, hashtag team, whatever. So,
this is teamwork. Everybody's their own team. Okay, well, have fun. And then the random girl that showed up.
Oh, yeah, there was a rando. So,
Alora or something, who didn't get a hashtag, poor rando.
I know. So so Vicky shows up, and she's excited for her t-shirt, because she's just happy that it doesn't say liar on it. I'd totally forgotten that Tamara got t-shirts last year, and they got one for Vicky that said liar.
Yeah. It's like, I went to jail for being a liar, bitch! She's like, oh, thanks. This is really nice. Thanks. She's like, I'm not playing volleyball, okay? I just want to go back to the way it was.
Yeah.
That's why I'm here. I'm not here to play volleyball. I'm here to go back. Go back. Go back to the way it was. Can we just go back? Like, just put on your fucking shirt, lady. Okay, they're not even here yet, but they're on their way.
Yeah.
They're on their way. And Tamara and Shannon.
Where are we going? We don't need badges. Sorry.
Tamara and Shannon are in their car, and Tamara's like, oh my God, I don't want to not be not calm. What? She's like, stay calm, Tamara, stay calm. I want to stay calm, but I want to, but he's coming. I would rather have a nail enema. I'm like, you know what? Your husband was just called gay.
Shannon's like, do you think anyone's going to notice that I'm wearing a chip and dip for my hat?
In the middle is where you put the salsa, and around is where you put the chips. Isn't that creative?
Huh? I give this a 3 out of 3 on my sombrero scale.
This is 3 out of 4 Holly Hobbies. Oh, so Tamara shows up. Now, you know Tamara's really pissed off at someone when she's overtly nice to everybody else. Because
yes.
She's never like that. But when she arrives and she's mad at someone, she's like, oh my God, Bash, look, it's Kelly. It's Kelly, Kelly, Kelly. Who's smelly? Not Kelly, that's for sure. Whoa, look at Michael. Who's sexier than Michael? No one, Bash.
Yeah, she even says hi to Peggy. She's like, hey, Batch, I see your car. Like, is that like, oh, your car's like that? Like a fashion statement, Batch? And Peggy's like, yes.
Is black and white your trademark, Batch?
She's like, yes. We should get you in there. And she's like,
yeah, I need a rim job, Batch. And Deco's like, oh my God, the rim job! Hilarious!
What is this rim job?
And so just because things are starting to feel like they might get kind of fun, we then go over to Megan King Edmonds, who is at home with her nanny. And she's, of course, the scene opens with her baby, and with Girly Girl. And like every scene opens with her going, hey, Girly Girl! It's like, oh, God, so dull. Even Girly Girl drives me nuts. Like, just that name, Girly Girl. Could you have a more generic, dumb name for your dog?
Girly Girl. Like, if Girly Girl ever gets lost in the neighborhood. Girly Girl. Girly Girl.
So,
also, she always has a new Justice headband for her baby, which yes. I love. That's like my favorite part of Megan's plot this year.
Yes.
Is giving the gift of Justice headbands to her baby. And she's like, you're fussy, right? Okay, go to bed. And the baby's like, meh, meh, meh. Like, no more. It's like, is that a robot baby? How does that happen when your baby's just fussy and you're like, go to bed?
Well, it's hard to stay awake around Megan King Edmonds, to be fair.
Hey, you want me to talk about my feelings about Kelly's text?
Do you want to talk about my new candles? So Megan is now hanging out with her nanny. And they're hanging around, and she's talking about how she's not going to the volleyball party. And, of course, guess how she knew about it? Because, what'd you say?
She wasn't invited.
Wasn't invited. And you know how she knew about it? Flashback to 2 days ago with Tamara being like, so, you're going to Kelly's volleyball thing, bitch? It's like, of course Tamara is all too happy to call her up and rub it in her face.
Yeah. She's like, why would I try and get a basket when I've already got a baby in a basket?
Oh, that's basketball.
Still, though. I still wouldn't go.
So she's going off on, you know, the thing with Kelly. Now, there's been some comments. I know that what Megan and Kelly did was not exactly the same to each other. My point is that Megan is sending, like, a rude text to Kelly, and Kelly acts out in the way that Kelly does, and they already got over it. And so for her to bring it up in public is just like, I'm losing, so I'm going to embarrass Kelly in public now and make her look stupid like she never apologized and we didn't make up.
Yeah.
That's what annoys me about her. And yeah. She's like, she's the one who insulted me. It's so childish.
Whatever, Megan.
You know what? It would be smarter of her to get on my good side. Yeah. Okay? Thank God I get over stuff fast.
Like, don't bite the hand that feeds you. Yeah, seriously.
Don't hit the hand that rocks the cradle.
That goes out to you and to you, Aspen, and you too, girly girl.
And then the cousin's like, yeah, because you're supposed to be home with your baby 24/7, don't you know?
Yeah.
I'm like, yes, because that's another really well thought out Kelly slam.
Well, that's the funny thing is that Megan was so upset that, you know, like, she was upset at Kelly for saying, you should be home with your baby right now. And so Kelly was, Megan was upset saying, like, what, I have to be home 24/7 now? When it was just last week when she was hiking with Lydia on the mountain, and she was like, I came with you, I could have been home with my baby. It's like, Megan, which way do you want to have it?
Yeah, I like Megan when she's going for justice and when she's relentless against whoever she's mad at, even if it's silly. I like that. But this, like, going against someone whose main argument is always, you are, is not exciting to me, you know? Like, pick a bigger target, Megan.
Well, I mean, I'm okay. If Megan and Kelly want to feud and they want to have some fights, I'm okay with that. But what I don't like is watching Megan moping around the house, doting on her baby, petting her ugly dog, you know?
She did it she said that when I was 7 months pregnant.
It's my favorite thing.
How could you do that? I have a baby. I'm a mother now.
Yeah.
So Shannon is over at the volleyball place. Is like, all right, bring it, volleyball.
Bring it. I'm so happy. The only thing that could have made me happy would be if David actually showed up. But he doesn't participate in my things anymore.
Why is she always yelling, bitch? Why is Shannon always yelling? I'm not yelling! Bring it up, volleyball!
That was actually Peggy who said that. Peggy's like, why does Shannon yell? I don't get it. Why does Shannon yell?
Because it seems like you can't hear anything, okay? That's why. It's like people who, like, snap their fingers in front of you. She's probably like, why are they snapping in front of my face? To see if you're there, okay? The same reason people are always checking your pulse.
By the way, do you know that this episode is brought to you by our Patreon super sponsor, Kelly Grant? She's a Kelly super Grant. Sponsor. Kelly Grant, Kelly Grant, Kelly, Kelly Grant, Grant.
Kelly Grant, Kelly Grant, Kelly Grant.
Anyway, Shannon.
It's our surprise Kelly Grant drop.
Yeah, we've decided that, like, to reward Kelly Grant for being not just a premium sponsor, but a super premium sponsor, we're just going to drop her name at random times in our episodes. You never know when it's going to happen. But Kelly Grant!
Kelly Grant!
Yeah, bring it, Kelly Grant, bring it!
And someone says, bring it. And Shanna's like, it's already been brought in! So Vicky goes over to Steve and she's like,
there must be some Toros in the atmosphere.
Bring it on. Don't even get me started. Don't even get me started.
Well, technically, Bring It On, It's Already Been Brought In is actually from Not Another Teen Movie, which is a parody of Bring It On. With Chris Evans. There you go, everyone.
Bring It On need a parody because it was pretty Bring It On by itself, guys.
Bring It On
it's already
is a masterpiece.
Yeah.
So anyway,
there was someone named LaFred.
By the way, Sparky Pilastri, that is a Tustin Gay right there. That's a perfect example.
Sparky Pilastri,
right? Don't you feel like Sparky Pilastri and Ricky would be friends?
Until Ricky betrayed them horribly.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't wait till we get to that part later. So Shannon is screaming about volleyball, and Vicky's trying to be a victim, but Tamara's still going around greeting random people like they're her best friend. She's like, hey, guy with a nice chest, you look great!
Hey, Conchelle. Hey, Batch. Hey, Starfish.
So Vicky goes to Steve and she's like, you know, I don't know about this volleyball. I don't like it, you know? I don't like it. Like, I didn't like it when we were on the way, and now we were on our way, and now I don't like it because we're not on our way. And he's like, look, Vicky, Todo is not going to like you, hon. He's like, what? Stop talking like that. Why are you talking like that? He's like, on delay. Okay, little mamacita. Not everyone's going to like you all the time. And she's like, why? Why can't everybody like me all the time? Why? I just don't get it. So they start playing the game, and Vicky and Tamara won't touch the same dropped ball.
Yeah, they wind up on the same team, and the ball, like, there's this fun little montage of, like, hitting the ball back and forth, and then it, like, winds up in this dead zone between Tamara and Vicky, and neither of them want to, like, even come close to their, even touching, so they just let the ball fall between them.
It's like again, holy another water. Metaphor. Tamara's like, whoa, not touching it, bad. So Tamara's like, how the hell did I get a Becca's time, batch? And Vicky's like, yeah, why about her team? She's short anyway. She's like too short to even hit the ball. Stupid, Tamara. Stupid. Stupid, hate her. So Shannon's like, come on, Alana, get this one. Poor random Alana. And then Kelly, goes into her, like, English professor mode, and she's like, how ironic that I'm good with everyone but Megan.
It's like rain on your wedding day. So anyway, so the team Tamara and Vicky actually wins, and everyone slaps five, but Tamara and Vicky do not slap five, which I noticed. And after this volleyball game is over, everyone retires over to Kelly's place, where she has commissioned a boob cake and boob cupcakes and, like, shrimp in the shape of boobs, and I don't know, like a loaf of sourdough that has a nipple on it. Like, everything is boob shaped.
And Shannon's like, wow, what is this? A 32G? Delicious. Do you know how many calories are in this? The editors are really shady that every time Shannon eats anything, there's like a close up of her, like, yeah, in a corner with a waiter.
Yeah.
She's like, I'll just have one more shrimp. You can stay here. I just need you here to put the tail on the napkin in so I can take three more. Okay.
Shannon just loves her catering staff. Like, if there's no one else to talk to, she'll be like, well, could you believe how they disrespected me, bartender?
Bartender, please.
So, so everyone's just sort of, like, there and joking around, and Tamara says something, something happens where Peggy disagrees about something. I forget what it was.
Nico and Tamara and Peggy are all sitting around eating, and he's like, oh, babe, that's not big enough. She's like, it's too small. And Tamara's like, God, you disagree all the time. You gotta agree sometimes. You gotta agree. Like, sometimes you just gotta agree. I'm like, who are you?
Yeah.
Fucking Tamara.
Yeah, exactly.
What are you talking about? And she's like, I agree.
Yeah.
Disagree.
And Dico's like, oh, it's your personality. And then Tamara goes, oh, I just thought you were a batch. I'm like, that was actually so massively rude. I know you're saying it as a joke, but it's one of those really rude jokes. And of course, Peggy just laughs it off. Which is shocking. That's the craziest part, that the weird shit like that Peggy laughs off. But if you say to Peggy, hey, could you pass the butter? No.
How dare
next.
She?
Next.
I agree to disagree. It was a figure of speech. Yeah. It's like, does bear shit in the woods, Tamara? Who knows?
You know that if Tamara made that joke to Shannon, that shit would not fly.
Tamara's just being a bitch to Peggy to start fights with her.
She's been
doing it every time she sees Peggy, she calls her a bitch. Or says she has bitch face. And Peggy is just like,
I will not argue with you, okay?
So she's listen, now that I've caught you a bitch, we're fine. Yeah. So are you close to Becca?
She's like, well, you know, I mean, close I get, like with you.
In other words, no.
Yeah. This is, I mean, what
any
a blatant,
other questions?
And such a blatant way to try to, like, bring Peggy to your side. I also want to point out that if someone made that joke that Tamara made, like, oh, I just thought you were a bitch to Tamara, it would have been a whole thing. She would have gotten angry. She would have gone to another room. She would have cried. I'm like, I don't know. I'm trying to reach out to this person so much. I've been erased, you know?
Yeah. Like, I'm finally having good times with my daughter. Someone says I'm a bitch, man. I don't need her to hear that. So anyway, she's also trying to get Peggy, and Peggy refuses to come into this insipid bullshit, at least so far. So, and Tamara's like, well, I just want to know because she did some shiesty shit at the birthday party. What is this shiesty? Oh, just shut up, bitch.
Yeah.
So then Kelly is talking to Vicky, and Vicky's like, well, she thinks I did something to hurt her, but I did do it, but then she did something to hurt me, and then it hurt me, and then, like, ugh, why it hurts my feelings. But.
So Peggy is, you know, like, exhausted by this, and she's like, you just have to come to a mutual understanding, that's all. So Tamara's like, all right, here's the mutual understanding that you need to come to. It's that I'm going to cry right now. So then Tamara just starts looking down, so starts doing this, like, blatantly fake cry. I mean, we've seen her do the fake cry. This one was as fake as can be. She was like trying to do like a Charlie Brown face with her mouth, and like no tears were coming out. I mean, nothing was happening. But in the other room,
Lydia's like, why is Tamara poking her own eyes? Is she okay?
Why is she holding that onion up so close?
And so Vicky sees Tamara doing this in the other room. She's like, oh, well, here we go. Like, here we, like, she's seen this before.
Yeah, so Tamara hustles over to the kitchen. And she's telling Shannon and Lydia, I'm so confused. And Shannon's like, what's the confusion about? Well, Peggy said that I need to have a conversation to understand, like, why Vic is hurt. And then, like, why Vic is hurting me. And I don't know. Is that, like, the right thing to do? And she's like, Tamara, back up. Come on, Tamara. Come on.
It was very reminiscent of Gina Davis having a moment in The Long Kiss Goodnight when she is ice skating with a young Jenna Malone, and Jenna Malone like hurts her ankle, and Gina Davis suddenly gets a flashback to being a CIA assassin and goes, life is pain, get over it.
It's like Rocky's coach. He's like, get up, you can do it. Also, Tamara's like trying to do this, like, am I being a bad Christian by not understanding? And she's like, come on, sin. Yeah. Sin, don't forgive. So, if you turn the other cheek, it's to see where the fly swatter is, so you can grab it and slap that bitch in the face. Come on, Tamara! And so Lydia's like, well, look, shouldn't Shannon support her decision after she calls her 20 times a day? Shouldn't she try and lift her friend up?
Yeah, I mean, Lydia had a pretty good read on the situation. She's like, I just think Shannon's ego is bruised because no one's asking her to make up with Vicky. I was like, I didn't even think about that, but that is a good point.
Well, she didn't really try and hide it. Yes. When Lydia's like, well, Vicky said she'll talk to you, Tamara. And Shannon's like, oh, well, I guess she doesn't want to talk to me then. Just Tamara, huh? Ah, yeah. Well, that'll be a nice coffee.
Yeah, and Shannon's just getting so angry. And she's like, but
she's an evil person. She, but here lies Shannon Bedore, killed by Vicky Gomez's evilness on volleyball day.
And Lydia's just rubbing Tamara's back like, it's okay. Forgiveness. Stop it. So Shannon is like, well, I talk to Tamara 10 times a day, and I know that this is not what she wants, because I tell her 10 times a day, this is not what you want.
Yeah, exactly.
She's strong.
And over in the living room, Vicky is telling Kelly she doesn't want to talk to Tamara because she doesn't want to think about Tamara. She hasn't been thinking about Tamara. And that night at the party, the last thing she was thinking about was Tamara. And Steve was like, oh, please, it consumes you. She's like, no, I don't want conflict. Oh, you already have it, so might as well just go resolve it.
Yeah. You know, I don't set people up. She has, you know, like, she's in my brain, like, after she's out of my brain. Like, that's it. He's like, no, es el problema. Ella está en su cabeza mucho. She's like, God damn it, Steve. Cut the crap.
Yeah.
So Lydia is like, I'm taking her to have a talk in the bedroom or whatever. And Shannon's like, really? Really? You stop crying. Be strong.
Yeah, she's like, I can't speak for Tamara. She needs to speak for herself. But Tamara says she doesn't want to go. She does not want to go talk to Vicky Gunvalson, but she's going to speak for herself. And Vicky's she says, not going.
Okay. And Vicky's like, oh, God, why is she crying now? Jesus Christ, Tempest Craig. And then Peggy calls it out, too. She's like, Shannon won't let her go. Because it won't be about Shannon. I said it.
On Thursday, my husband beats me too. So, Vicky...
Not joke.
So, Kelly brings Vicky and Tamara down to her bedroom so they can have something of a one-on-one conversation. And Vicky basically was like, you know what? Every single time, Tamara's yelling at me. So, I've decided I'm just going to yell at her. And they show this, like, amazing montage of Tamara screaming at Vicky.
And it was so hilarious because when Tamara is a vicious screamer, as especially the way they cap it off with her yelling at Vicky's face in Ireland, I was just like cracking up.
Fuck you! Right in her face.
Yeah.
But of course, you know, when you're the one who yells and then the other person stays quiet, what have we learned in life and on Housewives? That makes you look crazy.
Yeah.
But also, Vicky's just full of shit and everybody knows it. And Vicky's never honest about anything, which is why she's perfect friends with Tamara, who's also never honest about anything. And she comes in and she's like, I had nothing to do with Vicky or with Ricky, and you know it. You know it. She's like, no, I don't. I don't know that batch. She's like, yes, you do. You know it. Okay, so they have this whole thing about, she's like, all I just wanted was coffee and or tequila. Stop squeaking your
chair.
I'm
sorry. I was like trying to move and but I was like, no, I don't.
You fucking hurt me on purpose.
I'm like, I'm sorry. Like, normally I would feel bad about making notes of the chair, but luckily my chair actually sounds like Shannon Medour. Wait, I got to rotate in the right place. It's the Shannon Medour chair. I can do it. Hold on. Hold on. If I do it the right. And you have to sort of ease into it or start on David. Right now it's just really... It's more in a Lydia place right now. Oh, here it comes. Here it is. Here it is. David?
David! David! David!
I'm gonna fucking kill David. You.
David, be strong! Be strong!
So Vicky's sorry. Like, well, all I wanted was coffee. You know, all I wanted was coffee. And Kelly tries to leave and she goes, no, you wait. You were a witness. Okay, you know that Ricky just came. He wasn't on my list. You saw my list. You were like, is he on your list? I said, no, he's not on my list. Vicky having a list outside her house is hilarious to me. Because you know she probably did.
Yeah. But I think what I actually really enjoyed about Vicky yelling at Tamara is it's not saying that Vicky is innocent here. But Tamara keeps acting as if she's totally innocent. Tamara is the one who keeps saying that she's been the victim of Vicky's craziness and her evil ways, and she's a bad friend, yada, yada, yada. And the truth is they both are shady, but Tamara just doesn't get the heat. So Vicky finally was like, no, I'm going to give you the heat. She starts yelling at her and basically accuses her of shit-talking her for 3 years, yelling at Vicky, saying that she's... She says that Tamara has been calling her a victim, that Tamara has been conquering over her life, taking over friends, like Conquer Divide, all that stuff. And I was like, yes, I actually believe all that stuff.
Yeah, except that Vicky's a goddamn liar, too. I mean, that's the thing. At least Tamara came with something to get her on. Vicky's trying to pretend that she never admitted anything. And I love the editors for putting it in here. Because Vicky goes, you know my heart, Tamara. You know my heart. She goes, I don't know your heart, bitch. And she's like, well, then I don't know your heart, then. Okay, then I don't know your heart. I'm like, okay, good one. So then she tells her off, and she's like, you almost killed me. You almost cost me my life. She's like, when did I try and kill you, bitch? She's like, because I'm not a liar about cancer. I did not lie about cancer. God damn it.
And then they cut to the reunion where she's like, well, the reason that I misspoke. Fabricated. What did she say?
She goes, yeah. Well, I fabricated because I just wanted people to love me or something like that.
Yeah, like, and Heather's like, wait. A minute! You fabricated that! She's like, yeah, but that doesn't mean lie. It means fabricated. So she cut to her admitting that she did it. And then Vicky's like, she's always yelling at me. And then the, you know, montage again. She's like, don't act like a victim, Tamara. Yes, you. You're a victim. You're a victim.
Well, I liked also that, and Tamara, of course, is that super annoying thing in a fight. Why are you so angry right now? Why are you so angry yes. right now? I hate that.
Yes. Why are you mad? Why are you mad right now? So then upstairs, Shannon is telling Lydia, she's like, well, last year I was crying about what this woman alleged about me, and now she's doing it to Tamara. And Lydia's like, just let him talk. And she's like, well, I won't sit here while she's yelling. And Peggy's trying to block her. She's like, okay, you will not get the agent horse. I won't let you this time, Coco.
You shall not pass. Get out of my way.
Move it, Peggy.
And she's like,
I'm not going to scream. I'm not going to scream.
You've already broken 3 glasses.
So then they show Shannon at the top of the stairs, just like peeking in with her hat.
Yeah.
I mean, that hat really made this whole scene.
The hat was really a very special accessory. It was sort of an iconic look, that little hat. I wish I knew the name for it, that little straw hat. I call it the Chip and Dip. You call it the Holly Hobby. It's somewhere in between.
So, I do like the Ross Dress for Less chip tray, though.
But the best part about this, so Shannon's sort of like watching from the staircase, and then she walks in, and Kelly's like, "No, Shannon, this is supposed to be a one-on-one." And so Shannon's like, "Well, if it's supposed to be a one-on-one, if you're standing there, I'm going to stand here." And the best part is, I don't know if you noticed this, the music changed from like tense to this very sort of soft, silly music. It wasn't quite the coconut stupid music, but it kind of was like if you're playing a Super Mario game on a Nintendo 64 or like on a Wii, it was like the menu music. It was like da 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 da.
Yeah, it's like clown music, but yeah, it's like this is the clown music that you're gonna hear, except amped up when you press play. You know?
Yeah, it's like right before you press play, it goes woohoo.
Yeah, you know? It's like dun 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 dun, and then she comes in. She's like, "I'll stand here," and it's like, "Dum dum
dum bum." It's Vicky me, goes, Shannon.
It's and me. Vicky, I just drove over a banana peel.
And Vicky goes, "Are you nuts? What's wrong with you? Are you nuts?" She goes,
"I hear screaming at my friend, so here I am."
She's like, "Oh, she's my friend too, Shannon. She's my friend." Because Vicky's calmed down now, because now Shannon's going to be the one who's screaming. Okay, yeah. So she's like, "Well, now I'll make Shannon look crazy."
Yeah. So then Lydia...
she's my friend too. And Tamara goes, "You are my friend, bitch."
Meanwhile, upstairs, Lydia's going through an existential crisis because she's like, "Well, I want them to figure it out themselves, but I feel like I could be a moderator, but fuck me, woohoo!"
She's like, "Well, if you go, don't leave my wife here."
And she goes, "How about I make my own decisions?"
"No,
and
then she just sits I'm not there. Going."
Yeah, she sits there and sits there and sits there and goes, "Okay, I'm going to go." And she gets up and goes.
It was a good like 10-second protest, though. I like that. "No, I say when I go down, Dico." So
he's like, "God, these ladies, it's like a, you know, it's like a bandito shooting."
So then things get crazy because downstairs, again, like Vicky and Tamara going at it, and Vicky's like,
"I don't lie about cancer, I was lying to you, you bring it up again, I'm gonna go ballistic camera."
And then
Shannon, she goes, "If you say it again, I'm going to go ballistic." And Shannon goes, "You lied."
Yeah.
And then Vicky starts screaming, "You lied that your husband beat you. I have proof. I have proof."
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
I was like, wow. And then Shannon's like, "Huh, Vicky comes." And then so Vicky just looks at her. She's like, "You got a bad husband. You got a bad husband." I was like, "Ooh, it's been unleashed."
And then Shannon's like, "Well, Miss Vicky Gumbleson, you don't affect me anymore." Bringing down the finger shade in front of her eyes.
"You have no power over me." And then all of a sudden the labyrinth is destroyed and she winds up back in her parents' house. And Toby's
like, she's
in the
not
Caribbean.
A bagel, you know. So Vicky's like, "Good, then go." So Steve's like, guys can have a fight at a bar and they just have a drink together. It's like always the new husband. So like, "I don't get it." And Vicky's like, "I am sick of being blamed for this cancer lie. I don't lie. I'm on an ethics committee."
Yeah.
Vicky's on an ethics committee. "I caught someone watering their lawn on a Tuesday. I'm sending a letter."
So Lydia goes and asks Tamara if she's okay. And Shannon goes, "She's fine. It's what Vicky does." I'm like, oh, there goes Shannon letting Tamara speak for herself.
And she's got her arm around her neck. She's like, "I'm supporting you or about to strangle you. Have it which way you want it, Miss Tamara."
So Tamara's like, "Well, bitch, here's how I feel." And Shannon's like, "Excuse me, but I've gained 35 pounds because I cried every night over this woman. To make about me for one second, I was proud of myself because I looked at her and I said, no matter what you threaten me with, it doesn't matter anymore. So, yeah, this was a terrible fight for me, but it doesn't hurt me at all." Like, it wasn't really about you.
Yeah, and Lydia's like, "It's always about Shannon, the kids party, the nobleman party today." And Vicky's like, "You can't fix stupid, I'm out." Like, okay.
Going back to work.
Okay, Bush. Yeah. She's like, "I'm going back to work as the ex-president of the United States."
The ethics committee calls.
No new taxes, okay? So Peggy's like, "Look, you think this is worth it? If you don't want to talk, don't talk. If you do want to talk, talk." And Tamara's like, "I did try to talk, Peggy bitch." And now everybody's getting mad at Peggy for just like saying kind of like
the only smart thing that anybody's
saying. Right, because Becky's basically saying, like, either you have a conversation, you work it out, or just ignore each other, but don't, like, do this stuff where you just yell, like, you yell at each other.
Yeah, she's like, we're 50. Yeah. So Shannon starts whispering something to Tamara, and Peggy's like, put your hand down, Shannon. You're something else.
She says, what do you mean? In a good way or a bad way? Is that a, whoa, you're something else, or is that a, you're something else? I can't tell. It, use inflection.
And Peggy's like, I'm thinking.
She's like, my system is processing. Here, spinny wheel, spinny wheel, spinny wheel.
So then all of a sudden, so then Kelly comes out and is like, boob cake, and everyone's eating the cake. It's like fun, everything's light and everything, and everyone's having fun. And Shannon's like,
Peggy, so, is your hourglass still going, or, have we, talked with the paperclip in the upper right-hand corner? Do we have a, do we understand what sort of something else I am now? Because you said I was something else, and, I can't write a tombstone unless I know exactly what sort of else I am. Here lies Chambador, something else? Doesn't work, doesn't work.
You are vocal.
And she goes, well, vocal, but loyal, so what?
And she goes, look, I said vocal, okay? I said it.
I'm reactive, not vocal. Damn it.
So they're all talking about boob jobs and squeezing each other boobs, each other's boobs and stuff. And then Lydia's like, I had a boob job. I'm not ashamed. But it's not a secret. And I just don't feel comfortable talking about it with men in the room while I'm in a bathing suit.
Well, my favorite was that when Lydia said that she had a boob job, Tamara's like, really, bitch? We need to talk about it. And Lydia goes, we just did. I was like, yes, yes. I love when people do that shit.
Yeah, Lydia is not having any of this shit.
Yeah. I love the we just did thing. It's such a mean, bitchy thing to say, but it just felt so nice coming from, like a sweet, smiling lady talking to Tamara.
Yeah. So they all kind of break it up, and Peggy's with Deco and Doug. And Deco's like, whoa, she was putting you on check. Yeah. She's like, no one puts me on check.
What does that mean, put on check? Does that mean we are going to restaurants? No.
He's like, it means Shannon. She's trying to make something out of nothing. Go beat her up, babe. Come on, season two. Season two.
And Lydia's like, okay, just cut the cake so I can leave. Put a scar on it.
And so basically, as
so like, many notes in this section, and it feels like it shouldn't be this long, but I'm trying to see so what much. Started this boob job.
Because
fight.
Well, because they started to walk, and they were like walking somewhere, and Lydia like it was like this a lot of chatter all at once, and Lydia was like, well, you know I've had a boob job, I know you knew it because you when I said it, you squeezed Tamara's leg when you found out a boob job. More or less, she basically called out Shannon for squeezing Tamara's leg the moment that Lydia announced that she had a boob job. And Shannon's like, huh, so you're angry at me now? Are you angry at me? And Lydia's like, yeah, yeah.
She's like, but God strike me dead. I had no idea. I had no idea you had a boob job. It wasn't about that. Oh, God strike me dead. And Lydia goes, I don't need you to say that. She goes, no, 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 no.
Okay,
no.
You're
no,
being no, weird no, no, no. right now. So, like, Lydia just is like, her brand of bitchiness is so potent when she actually brings it out. Like, it's that, like, okay, yeah, you're weird. I don't need this. You're wearing a chip and dip on your head, and it's strange. It feels like it's against a commandment, but, you know, I'm not comfortable even talking about commandments with you right now.
She just starts, Shannon just starts going into like a, bah, no, bah, 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 no, uh-huh, what?
No, no, wait, no, David, wait. I was only squeezing Tamara's leg because Peggy was saying that she couldn't read me. Peggy called me something else. And so I squeezed
crazy.
Tamara's leg because I was like, something else, like a knee, like a knee.
You're being crazy. It was shocking. Wah!
Like her own Lydia's shocking like, off. It's like Shannon's terrorism.
And Lydia just goes, I'm done with you. Actually, doesn't. No, I'm sorry. That was actually too bitchy because she says it in a like, really sunny way, like, okay, I'm done with you. And she just sort of like walks off and she's like, oh, so Lydia's done with me. So, okay.
Tamara!
Tamara's sitting there eating, stuffing her face with boob cake.
Tamara, can you come here for a minute? No!
She's like, wait, this is really good. She's like, no!
My poor Tamara! Neighbors.
She won't come. And she comes up and she's like, oh my God, better do to you now, Kelly Batch. She's like, no, thank God. I got you guys hashtag shirts. And Lydia passes Shannon. She's like, look, I was just saying, you and I were the only... Oh, no.
No, she goes, I just was... Honest God, I was... I'm so afraid of you saying that there's something... like, I'm so tired of you saying that there's something wrong. I didn't do anything. David, I'm happy, but I'm, like, tired. David, I'm tired. No one understands me.
And Lydia's like, come on, Doug, let's go. It's all about her today. Yeah. And Shannon's like, whoa, well, when you say done with me, you mean? And she goes, I mean, I'm done. My kids need me. That means done, okay? Do you need more drama and more attention? And Shannon's like, oh, I was just making a joke that I know. Well, you're done. You're done with me. Goes, you accused me of.
Then Lydia goes, just starts swimming on the stairs. She's like,
literally doing the thing that weird talk that she always does, the inflatable thing. She starts doing it on the staircase. She goes, can we talk about it tomorrow?
Climbing back up on her hands and knees. She's like, I don't understand why every time I'm with you, it's drama. And she's like, well, I don't either. It was Peggy. And then Kelly's like, well, look, honestly, to God, it was about Peggy. And Peggy's like laughing downstairs listening while she's eating a cake. She's like, what about the cake? Which, I mean, getting Peggy to laugh, this is a good episode.
And so then Shannon starts crying. She's like, I had
no idea you had a poop job, and I think these terrible things about it. It's hard when you continually have the wrong impression of me. And Lydia's like,
all right.
Like, no, you don't have to stay. Like, I'm not going to leave if you're crying. Okay, I didn't realize. Okay, we're good. We're good. Yeah, we're good.
And Peggy's been standing down the stairs because Kelly's house is basically stairs, more stairs. So every time they go argue somewhere else, there's like people on the stairs above.
Yeah, for everyone who thought her elevator was excessive, having been to her place, that elevator is actually kind of mandatory because there's so many stairs you have to go up.
There's stairs everywhere. So we have to note that Tamara has been standing in the stairwell listening to this whole thing. She did not come to
Shannon's.
No, Peggy is, but Tamara's standing above her. She's on a couple steps above her.
Yeah.
She's listening to this whole thing.
Yeah, yeah. And so Kelly, well, the best part is that, like, after Lydia leaves and everything, Kelly's like, Tamara, you know, you really should have had Shannon's back. And Tamara says, I forgot what Tamara said. I was trying to find my notes here. Of course, I get lost in the most exciting
Tamara's
part.
Tamara's like, well, you know, I've noticed that Shannon's acting out, and I think it's because of David, And so Peggy's like, I'm right here. Stop saying Peggy. And so this is when Shannon and Lydia are like, we're good.
Well, also,
good. So yeah. Tamara comes up the stairs like she hasn't heard anything, right?
Yeah.
So Shannon's like, well, there you are. Well, I was calling you and you didn't come. And Tamara's like, well, I thought it was stupid. I didn't know what was up. And Kelly goes, that's not cool because Shannon's had your back and you should have been here to have Shannon's back. Which, I mean, wow. Kelly's like making a supreme effort, I have to say.
Yeah, exactly. And Shannon's like, yes. And then when Tamara tells Shannon that Lydia told... Tamara repeats to Shannon that Lydia had told her over at Lola's Cafe that Lydia doesn't like Shannon. And then Shannon goes, did you have my back? And Tamara's like, what can I say? She didn't give me a... I was like, mm-hmm. Caught again.
You started it like you're standing downstairs pretending you didn't hear. And now she's like, yeah, I did have your back. Well, she said she doesn't like you, so...
Well, why would you tell that to someone?
And she's like, well, not everyone has to like you, bitch, okay? Like, I can't always be here to save her, okay? I couldn't hear. I was downstairs. I'm like, you were standing right there. So then Shannon has nobody except Kelly, and she's not going to stand there with Kelly, you know? And so, because, like, she's just mind fucked right now. She's like, wait a minute. So she goes over to the cater bar. And she's like, well, I'd like to bond with my friend Grey Goose. Oh, whatever happens, I get my head chewed off every time. You understand that, you know? Oh, God. I mean, I'm opinionated, but she has it out for me for no reason. Do you understand? And the bartender's like, oh, good. I cut limes for this. Jesus. I know this lady doesn't have singles. Why do I have to listen to this shit?
Yeah, it was a pretty great episode. I was really happy to see them like intermingling and fighting. I'm happy to see Peggy get in the mix. Lydia getting bitchy. Like, we need to see more. We'll get some more where they come for Peggy. But we definitely need to see more. And by the way, like, why would Tamara tell Shannon that Lydia doesn't like her? It's just like stuff like that. You would never tell someone that. Never.
Because Tamara is like friends with somebody for a year and then she starts completely undermining them. I mean, it happens over and over every year. I do have to mention that it was posted by Cindy C on the CC over on our Facebook that the faux hawk guy, what's his name? Ricky. He posted all of the invites. He posted the invite that Vicky had sent him.
Wow.
And he even said, are you sure that production's okay with this? Because Tamara told me I would never film again. And she said, they just said whoever my close friends are. And he said, okay. And then there was like another text. I mean, this guy's shady for posting those texts. But of course, Vicky's fucking lying through her teeth again.
Of course. That's hilarious. It's like crazy. It's not crazy, but not crazy.
Yes.
But they all deserve each other. That's the thing. That's what's funny is that they don't realize that they all deserve each other. Tamara and Vicky, they are the two, you know, that's like Meryl Streep and Goldie Hawn right there, their heads rolling down the staircase.
Yes. Also, it goes to show you that this show is so much more fun. If they hate each other, it's okay, but they have to shoot together. Because this fighting was silly, but it was also funny watching them fight, but also laugh together at the table, and then go back into fighting, and then go back into laughing with each other. It's like, they're learning to like fight and enjoy each other, and that's extremely important. And it really helped out Dallas this week too.
If you're gonna fight on these shows, it's one thing to like, you know, these shows do well when there's like a big feud across the season, but when the feud spills over into a second season, it's every single time it gets. It's amazing how tired that feud can get. It could be so good one season, and it's just there's that reset button that gets hit, and people are ready for something new. I mean. And that's why we do give props to Reza and the Shaz people, because they will have a vicious feud all season long, and then they hit the reset button and they just change it up. And
it doesn't have to be like that huge of a feud as long as they're just together. Even if they're not fighting, it's usually generally a lot funnier when they're together giving each other shit.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the stuff that's always works really well is not even like, oh, they're just having fun, because sometimes the quote unquote fun is too produced and it gets really annoying. What works well is when they're being passive aggressive to each other. You know, like the simmering tension beneath the surface is always really enjoyable.
Yes.
So that always works.
Well, that brings us to the end of another Real Housewives of Orange County episode. The next time we'll be recapping this show is live next Wednesday night in Chicago.
Yeah. Thank you for reminding me about that. We'll do another announcement on tomorrow's show at the top, so that way, in case anyone has tuned out by this point. But our recording schedule is a little weird next week because we have those live shows. So I think Monday will still be Shaz. Tuesday will probably be Auckland. Wednesday will be Below Deck. Thursday will be OC. Friday, Dallas. Or something like that. Just because we're doing our OC and Dallas recaps at the Chicago shows Wednesday night. So everything's getting rearranged. But just bear with us. And in the meantime, just tune in tomorrow. Because guess what? That's going to be a fun Dallas episode to recap. That's for sure.
Hell yeah. Everybody, thanks so much for being here. We will be back tomorrow with Real Housewives of Dallas.
Bye.
Bye.